Can we get to the business of the day? Over to you, Mr. Baganti. Please introduce your team and take us through.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, and good afternoon to the honorable members. We're very honored to present to you the 2013-14 audit outcomes for the Department of Labor and Identities. Before we proceed with the presentation, I would introduce my team. To my far right is Vishay Jagat, is the manager in charge of the Department of Labor and Health and Employment Factories. Then to my immediate right is Pakro Leung, is the manager in charge of the compensation fund. And my name is Joshua Baganti, as the chair has introduced me. I'm the senior manager for the Dole portfolio. And then to my left is Rick Grobler. I think going forward for the next coming year, he will be taking over the Department of Labor. So he will be helping me with the Department of Labor. I will continue the compensation fund and other entities. So that's why he's here from us, that you get acquainted with him so long. Thanks very much. Like I said, the purpose of our visit here today is to present you the audit outcomes for the department and its entities for the year 2013-14. But we're only not going to share the audit outcomes, but we'll also share in some senses the successes, some instances, the challenges that the departments were faced with within the year, and as well as the recommendations that we want the departments to put into place so that the outcome can improve. So I'll proceed with the presentation. I think for the purpose of the presentation and to create a clear picture, I'll start off with the annexure on page 15 on the presentation that you have, and then you just follow me. I'll just be moving up and down, but the point will still be clear. If you look at the annexure 10.1, what is your opinion for the current year? They release all the audit outcomes, and maybe for the purpose of other for members as well. Our audit report is classified into three parts. We express an opinion on the financial statement that the department prepared.
Can you also lead us in terms of pages?
Oh, sorry, Chairperson. It's page 15. I'm starting off on page 15. Then I'll go back on top. Page 15. Sorry, I see you've got two documents before you, but the one named briefing document. The other one is just additional notes on the compensation plan. So, page 15 of the PC briefing document. I'll take you through here for the bigger picture. Our audit outcome or our audit report comprises of three sections. Report on the financial statements. We report on the predetermined objective, which is your performance information, and we also report on the non-compliance. So when we say audit outcome, the audit outcome means those three areas. We say for you to have a clean audit outcome, you need to have done well in all the three. You need to have had unqualified opinion on the financial statements, you need to have had no findings of predetermined objective, and you need to have had no findings on non-compliance. From page on Annexure 10.1, the Department of Labor received unqualified opinion on the financial statements. Everything that they stated was written in the financial statements was fairly stated, but we gave them disclaimer conclusion, or they had findings on performance information. I'll explain later in detail what we mean by disclaimer in regards to the performance information. They also had issues on laws and regulation in regards to non-compliance thereof. So, although they were amplified on the financial statement, but there were a lot of significant issues on the performance information, or what we call pre-summit objective. And that's more of your service delivery indicators. So that's where the biggest problem was for the department. Then second is the compensation fund. Compensation fund had a disclaimer on the financial statement. We also had disclaimer conclusion on the performance report for your pre-summit objective. And they also had numerous findings of non-compliance with laws and regulations. The third was the UIF, Unemployment Insurance Fund. We didn't have any findings on financial statements, or they were unqualified. They also had unqualified findings, no findings on pre-summit objective, and we didn't have findings on non-compliance with laws and regulations. So, UIF within the portfolio is what we would call a clean audit, in the sense that everything is, they're doing what they're supposed to do in all the three areas. Shared employment, they got unqualified on the financial statement, which is an improvement from last year, because in the prior year, we had qualified them in the financial statement. They didn't have findings on pre-summit objective. They were qualified, they had to have findings on pre-summit objective, and then findings as well with non-compliance with laws and regulations. CCMA was unqualified on the financial statement, did have findings on predetermined objectives, but there were some findings on the non-compliance with laws and regulations. NEDLAC, they were also unqualified. They were unqualified on predetermined objectives, but they also had findings on non-compliance with laws and regulations. And then Productivity SA had unqualified opinion in the financial statements. They had unqualified predetermined objective, no findings there, but still they had findings on non-compliance with laws and regulation. For all entities that I've mentioned there, that we say for the department, Chester Employment Factories, CCMA, NEDLAC, and Productivity SA, although we're saying they were unqualified, but there were some statements that some material statements that were identified by the audit teams, which the entities corrected afterwards to prevent a qualification. Had they not corrected those misstatements, they would have been qualified. Except for UIF, they never. All other entities had misstatements when we audited, but there was time for them to correct those misstatements, and then that's why they prevented the qualifications. Okay. Then I'll move you back to the top on page 4. Page 4 is basically on 2.1, just a progress on key commitments. What we just like to highlight commitments in the sense that during the course of the year, we have quarterly interactions with the executive authority, the ministers, and then during those interactions, the ministers make some commitments on how to improve the audit outcomes. And highlighted here in 2.1 were some of the commitments that the minister made in our previous engagement in how she would want to change to all entities to have better outcomes. And I must say, in most of the entities like CCMA, Productivity SA, UIF, and these commitments, where officials have implemented them, the audit results have improved. But in other entities like the compensation plan, these commitments are still in progress and they are yet to be achieved. On page, if you move down with me, 2.2, this is just a graphic representation of the audit outcomes over the past 3 years within the labor portfolio, the department and its entities. And perhaps maybe I'll take this opportunity to explain the colors before I go through the graph. When we say green, green we say you are unqualified on the financial statement, you are unqualified, don't have findings on the objective, and you don't have findings on laws and regulations. And then yellow, we say you are unqualified, but you still have issues on the objective and non-compliance with laws and regulations. The red is your disclaimer. We're saying in all areas, like you've got a disclaimer on the financial statement and everything. And then the purple is your qualification. And perhaps I'll just take you just comparatively for 2013, 2014 to 2012, 2013. Overall, if you see, there hasn't been a movement in the green area. Last year it was still 14%, and this year still 14%. That means there's still one entity. It was UIF last year that had a clean audit outcome and still UIF. The major movement was with regards to the yellow area. The yellow area increased, moved from a 57% to a 71%, purely because there was a significant improvement in the audit outcome or opinion for the sheltered employment factories. Like I said initially, last year they received a qualification. In the current year, they were unqualified because they sorted out the inventory issues that led to the qualification in the prior year. So that's why you don't see any purple in 2013-14, because the purple area last year was the qualification for the sale, but this year there was nothing. The 14%, the red area is still the same. It's just the compensation fund still, it receives the same audit opinion or audit outcome as it were in the prior. It's still a disclaimer. So if you look at within the portfolio, right, although it's not an improvement that you want to say that in all three areas it improved, but there was a significant shift. And I tell you where we want to see is this yellow graph getting greener and greener by with time. So the reduction in the yellow portion and entities getting to the green portion kind of thing. So that's basically the graphic representation of the portfolio. It says that we've got a clean audit and majority of the entities are still here in a yellow thing, although they are unqualified on the financials, but they still have issues of return to objective and non-compliance with laws and regulations. I think that now audit outcome per entity, I'll move over to page 7 where we highlight the key services for per entity and then some areas that require attention and the challenges that were faced by these entities. Okay, I'll start off with the Department of Labor. The key services, what we identified were the proactive in identifying issues, challenges, and underlying root causes, and they're very eager to put corrective measures there. Previously, years ago, access used to be an issue within the department, but that's not an issue anymore, and we applaud them for that. But there are still some challenges in 3.3, 3.2. We say that commitments that were made in the prior years have not yet been fulfilled. They need to work on that to address the shortcomings that we identified in the prior years. IT is also something that we identified in the prior. The department had issues with IT, issues especially with the TPP partner leaving. So that was the transition period, but at the point when we speak, I think they've already worked on it, and there might be a little bit challenges that they're facing with regards to IT, but it's not as big as it was in the prior. But the biggest problem, if you move on the grade 3, number 3, is the audit of predetermined information. This is the biggest problem facing the department, and predetermined objective relates to links to your service delivery. I know in the previous presentation, we're asking the researchers on how does your analysis of expenditure lead to what the department is doing. one name, I'll even give an example and say, okay, where are you now to spend 100 million? But where did you spend the 100 million or the 100%? Did it go to a party or something? So this is the area that the department is still struggling with, to say that they don't have proper policies on how to collect, record and report on three determined objectives. And purely because you've got three levels on how they report the predetermined objective. You've got information initially. The initiation process starts at the labor centers, then it moves to the provincial offices, then it gets to head office. So by the time it moves from labor centers to Pretoria to the head office, it somehow distorted those three lines. So there's no proper process to make sure that whatever we record at labor centers is going to go through uniformly up to head office. So that, I think that's one of the key areas. And then the second issue that I identified was information is not readily available to verify. Say for example, if you say I infected 10 workplaces and we as auditors, when we come to and say, show us the report of inspection, we don't, that information is not readily available. So reporting on target, but it's not easily available for the third party to verify that this is actually what I've done. So I think that's one of the issues that we encountered. The other thing was, in the annual report, where there is variances to say, my target was 100, I achieved 90, but there were no explanations for the variances for those particular targets. They're saying, the variances are not substantiated with conclusive and supporting evidence. There was an issue with the targets not being specific in the sense that there is no proper definition of performance, where performance is going to take place, or how those targets are going to be measured, and who is going to be accountable for those such targets, and when will that deadline or time of delivery of that particular target. And then our recommendation basically with the department is, please work on your predetermined objectives. Try to make every staff member to be accountable. Let them have their roles and responsibility aligned to the strategic plan of the department. Say, if a strategic plan says this is what we have to do and I'm an inspector, my roles and responsibility and my performance argument should be aligned to what the department sets out to do. Then the other one was, because we experienced lots of problems with the documentation, then for every target that you're reporting, you need to link it to your supporting evidence. This is what I've done, I've inspected this, here is evidence that I've inspected a factory in Free State, or this is the database of learners that have registered for the employment services, these are the IDs, actually, not just say, we've got 100 learners registered for employment services, but when you ask for supporting evidence, the IDs and everything, you don't get those kind of things. So we're saying, for every target, you need to have clear documentation to support what you're reporting. And I think, lastly, on how to improve the predetermined objective for the performance reporting, they need to have clear policies on how to collect reports or predetermined objective from labor centers to regional offices and to the head office eventually. So they need to be an alignment and say, if we collect information from the labor centers, this is how we to report from the labor center, and this is how it's going to filter through the regional or the provincial office, and then this is how we're going to consolidate it for a head office branch and say, employment services, this is what we've got for the bigger picture of the country, or inspection services, this is what we've got for the bigger picture. But it needs to start, the person at the labor center needs to understand the reporting format and what the head office requires. So by the time you integrate, you don't have statements across all the three areas. Okay, that's the Department of Labor, Chair. Yeah. I'm not so sure whether you want to, should I go through everything and then questions will come after I've gone through the presentation, or one each at a time?
Is that what you prefer, members? Just for them to do all the presentation in putting off entities. Okay.
Okay. What is outcome for the compensation funds? Here, I think, like last year, they received a disclaimer, and one of the challenges is we saw that the interventions that were not serious interventions that were put in place to correct last year's findings or all the issues that applied in the bias. The other issue was that the accounting system in place is not designed to provide appropriate support to the reporting of revenue and benefits and claims transactions. Actual Gordon report says that there were duplicate payments and loans that were paid to some service providers, but when we went back this year, we saw that there was nothing done to make sure that people pay back those amounts, or they duplicate payments, there is intervention to recover all the money that was paid out. We also had issues with irregular expenditure. They don't identify and disclose fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. But I think the biggest problem of all within the compensation fund is this lack of consequence management. And that goes back to lack of accountability. That I'm, as an employee or junior staff, I'm going to do as I is, but nothing is going to happen to us. So it goes back to the things like consequence management needs to be taken seriously within the fund so that it will bring about positive outcomes within that. We also say that there was no action that was taken, or management did not take action to investigate or follow through investigations that led to financial misconduct, corruption and proper conduct within the supply chain. Because I think in the prior we reported a couple of issues, but up to now these issues are still being coming through. And I think lastly the challenge is you've got warm bodies but they're over relying on consultants. So consultants is still an issue within the compensation fund. Okay, you've got MSO who is supposed to address the backlogs and claims. You've got NICS who is supposed to collect revenue and outstanding data. Then you've got several but still consultants helping with the financial statements. And then around strategy, you bring in Accenture help with such. So that's one of the key challenges that were identified within the compensation fund. And one of our recommendations is how we would like to see the fund turn around, saying the agency should implement a business process engineering to fundamentally reinvent the way they operate in order to make a drastic improvement in their operation, specifically with regards to revenue and claims. We're saying the commissioner as the head of the institution needs to hold everyone accountable by instituting performance management as well as consequence management, that for every action should have its repercussions. Whether it's a lack of skill, then you receive training. But if you do financial propriety, then you need to be disciplined according in terms of laws and regulations. And the other thing is saying, let them also address both internal and external audit findings, because if you don't address them, it's like a cancer, it keeps on growing. So all the issues that we highlight, when you go back in the following year and it's not been addressed, it keeps back, it grows in bigger proportion by the day. And then lastly, we need to do disciplinary action for everyone found to have done financial impropriety regards to regular expenditure and wasteful expenditure within reasonable time. In UIF, like I said, it's a shining star within the portfolio. Within staff, I think we just say the key success is they've managed to maintain a clean audit outcome over a period of time. No findings on laws and regulations, no findings on return objectives, and unqualified. So it's not just a one-shot, you're doing it year on. So what you're saying is, perhaps maybe the compensation fund can just look at how well, since you're in the same portfolio, you can just a direct mirror of your brother and see how well you can improve your own house. Okay. 5, 6 is the CCMA. CCMA also is pretty well in the current year in the sense that they did have issues on financial statements and did have issues on the performance indicators. The only issue was there was one instance regarding leases of building. And that's what we're saying, as part of our recommendations, let them try to tighten up the supply chain policies and regulations regards to how they qualify the leases or the buildings that they lease. So I think that was, this is one of the issues that was found at the hearing. Shelter employing factories, although they received a qualified, unqualified opinion in the current year, we see some challenges in the sense that the CEO there, that entity, is not hands-on. He comes, I think he leaves most of the things to chief financial officers. So in the sense that if the head is not there, then things don't go right. So we're saying, like, let him be more involved in the running of the entity. They also had issues with regards to recovering of debt, because it's a trading entity. So when they sell on credit, it takes them time to collect what's outstanding or what's due to them. And then the other challenge was regards to VAT, how the submission to claiming and calculation of VAT on the invoices are submitted to SARS. So we say, please sort out all those accounting issues regarding VAT, then it would be much better. And I think the other one is just to hold people accountable and say, this is what you need to do to improve within. But I think it starts from the head and say, me as a chief executive officer, let me show direction, and then everyone will follow. So that's the Shelter Employment Factory. NEDLA, nothing is the same as in the prior year. I think the only thing was to look at the founding legislation, how they might, to make it more relevant and their mandate. They did have issues on pre-term objective. They've reduced on the issue of supply chain management, supply chain management issues. Last year they had lots of non-compliance issues, but in the current year they've improved on that, although there is still more that we reported on. And then I think the only thing that we see is that, I think we are advising the minister, say there was a forensic report that was done 2 or 3 years ago, and there were some people that implicated that report. So we just say, let those people be taken to charge, or let action be taken to those people as per that report. I think that was the key highlight for the NEDLA for this as a whole. Okay, and lastly is the FTC South Africa. No issues on pre-term objectives, they've improved significantly, but there were some issues regarding to compliance with the PPP FFA in terms of how they need to improve on those non-compliances. And I think now what they've done is appointed a financial manager to help improve the compliance with that supply chain regulations. And as well, last year, I think predominantly PSA, they always have a problem with funding. I know UIF was helping them, and now they've gone up a plan on how to funding turnaround solution to their problem, and how they're going to get more money, how they're going to raise more funds to help with their operations. So in a nutshell, those were the positive outcomes for the entity. I'll just go down, I'd highlight 10.2, we're basically just looking at the key focus areas that we look at as the office. We look at the supply chain management, we look at pre-summit objectives, we look at human resource management, IT controls, the quality of financial statements submitted by the entities, and the financial health or material understanding within the entities. For this 10.2, I haven't included most of the entities. I only specifically highlighted the three biggest entities within the portfolio to say how they've done with regards to that. And because when I started off, I was saying there were findings on predetermined objectives, or there were findings non-compliant. So below these graphics, it's just those key findings that this entity has. I know in our audit reports, they don't come out that much. So it's key findings that you always put in the management report for those particular entities. But if you look at the graphics, you see for the three entities, none of them is having a green. So that means the yellow is saying it's in progress or they're working on it. Then red is saying it's a big problem, it requires intervention. So for example, supply chain management for those compensation funds, shelter employment factories. Here we're saying you clearly do the services without going through proper bidding process, or you procuring goods and services without obtaining the necessary force as required by legislation, or you don't have controls to prevent and take regular expenditure. So I think those are the findings that came out. And then if you look at the red specifically with a predetermined objective for especially the department and compensation fund, you're saying you're not delivering, I think in a natural way, you're saying you're not delivering your mandate. Because predetermined objectives equates to your service delivery. It's like you're saying you spend too much, but on what? Or you're saying you've got a budget of 800 billion, but who did you pay out? So I think that's for the audit committee, something to monitor and to question the department and how are you improving on predetermined objectives. It's well and fine to come and say, I've spent 97% of my budget. But I think the next question should be on what? So that's the thing that equates to predetermined objective. And that's why I'm saying in our reporting, we're not restricting it to the financial statements. But we're going a step further and say, okay, if you spend, let's try to follow the money to a certain extent. I know that as you, we follow, say, service delivery, that's what we're doing with predetermined objective. Although we're not 100% saying, to say this is whatever is right, but we try to say if you, we try to link your strategic plan to your budget and to your financial statements. That's why we report on the three areas. Then we have done that. I think it's an objective. I've gone through that. Then human resource management, like compensation fund, we said most of the vacant positions were not filled within 12 months as required by the public service regulation. And then for the PHCs as well, there are numerous IT issues as we previously stated. But 10.3 is just for your own information, is in history for the last 5 years, indicating what was the opinion, unqualified, with findings, predetermined objective, and compliance with those regulations. I think before I conclude, I just want to take members, maybe to answer a question. I know it was not my time when one of the questions was being asked to the researchers, but asking someone the podium, I'll take the opportunity just to give a linkage between the understanding, like what they're saying in their presentation, and then I think if you look on page, on our presentation, page 18, yeah, the briefing notes. 10.25, financial health status. We also do some kind of, to say that if an NCO department spends, do they have the money to spend, or are they overcommitted? What's the reason for an unfailing or underfailing there and then? So, if they are under review, totally agree with the researchers that the department underspent by 3%, and the underspending was largely attributable to the invoices related to the DPW and less than expected payment with compensation and of employees. So it goes back to the question where the honorable member was asking, so they didn't spend that much because they were supposed to recruit people, like at least like inspectorate, that's where most of the within the department, they don't have enough inspectors. So they're not in a position to recruit the required number of inspectors. So that's why it led to underspending. The one for DPW we say. But I think the question goes beyond that and say, okay, this is just the financial information. We say if you understand or you are not able to employ people that you require to employ, so how were you able to do your work? Or were you able to do, because some of the work needs, like inspectorate, you need the warm bodies, you need people to go and do the inspections. So this has even tell you when you look at the performance indicators, not being able to achieve because you've not employed the people that you're supposed to employ, so you don't have enough numbers. So eventually it's going to affect the work that you're supposed to do because the numbers are not enough. So that's why you see, if you look it from this point of view and say, you don't have enough inspectors, maybe perhaps it explains why, I'm not even the reason why, but it could explain the reason why you're not able to achieve your target. Partly one of the reasons. And so from this point of view, I'm saying, okay, fine. So that means then they're going to go back to the department and say, how then are you able to bring the right resources to make sure that you achieve on your mandate? Thank you very much. Yeah, I think with that I'll stop here. No.
Thank you so much, sir, for the information. Members, it's over to you for questions, concerns, clarifications. Honorable Buffering, Honorable Ollis, Honorable Motelka, and Honorable Dash.
Thank you. First and foremost, I want to thank you for the fantastic report. Warts and all, you didn't hide anything from us. I really appreciate that, and I'm sure the rest of the committee would appreciate that as well, and that you told us exactly what it's all about. I just want to look at, obviously, compensation fund. And I know your colleague has been given the hunchback as his... And you've been through it with us before, and in fact, one of your colleagues last time when presenting to this very portfolio committee had suggested that we look at a restructure of the compensation fund because there seems to be no accountability, the management is useless. She went through it all with us, and we were very grateful to hear from her then. We need to re-look at it as a committee, obviously, and see what... how it has to be restructured. Maybe you've got some ideas from us, because you said to us today that it needs to be fundamentally re-engineered. And I take that point, and I think it's absolutely correct. And maybe you want to comment on that. Also, you said that the performance management, there's absolutely no performance management by the looks of things from the top down. And I think that's disgusting. And also, you made another comment that there doesn't seem to be any repercussions. In other words, if you screw up entirely and just don't do it, and I mean, one area is underspent by 53%, when actually the rest of the department has done glowingly well, there's no repercussions at all. So just to sum up, and maybe you can agree with me or disagree, there's a lack of management, there's a lack of accountability, there's no action by management, there's financial misconduct, there appears to even be corruption somewhere along the line, and there's a complete reliance on consultants who aren't performing either. The consultants are coming in, getting paid, and then doing nothing as well. And I think that all reflects in what the public are seeing. When a man or a woman at work gets injured, the chances of them getting paid out is minimal. We've had experience now of people for 10 years who have been bringing claims and putting and just never for 10 years never got results. So maybe you want to comment on all that. And then I just wanted to ask one question about the CCMA, and it's completely off that topic entirely. You said there was one issue with the CCMA that was a lease of a building. I take it it's a building in Cape Town, and that building somehow was leased, millions were spent on it, and they never ever moved in, and it looks like it was a friend of a friend or some real problem over there. And maybe you can put us in a picture, because from what I understand in Cape Town is that for over a year now, they've had this problem where there's another building in Adley Street, which someone's been paying for, and they never ever moved in, and they've let their offices fall to rack and ruin in Cape Town. So the CCMA has been on its knees because of it, and they've let the old building, there's no air conditioning, there's none of the doors work, sometimes the lifts don't work, but they kept saying we're going to move to this new building, they've spent fortunes on it, and nothing's happened. So maybe you've found something in your travels on this. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it.
Honourable Ollis.
Thank you, Chairperson. It seems as if the same three areas in labour are always in trouble. Sheltered employment factories, the compensation fund, and then in the department itself. And it's usually the same three issues. Vacant posts in highly skilled positions where we don't have anybody. The IT system fails and we spend more money on it and it fails, and then we spend more money on it and it fails. And then there's certain financial controls that don't seem to be in place. Is that sort of a rough guide assessment of where we are, and if you could perhaps recommend what we as a committee could suggest to resolve those things, because it seems to be the same things. I was on Labour Committee Parliament in 2009 and 2010 and 2011, and I'm here again, and you know, nothing's changed. All these years later, we've still got the same three areas, the same three problems. Secondly, how much has been wasted on IT equipment, particularly the compensation fund, software that's been used and then thrown away and abandoned, and we started over? I can give you a list of all the different forms of software we used since I first started on the Labour Committee in 2009, and I mean every year there's a new system, and it still doesn't work. How much has really been wasted? And then thirdly, I've noticed that the budget for this year, they've cut, I'm not sure if it's 56 million or 59 million from the Inspectorate and Enforcement Services. Do you foresee that having a significant impact on service delivery? If you just suddenly cut 59 or 56 million out of their budget, how are they going to deal with that? Are you aware of them having any is there spare capacity? Are they able to cut? You know, have they got lots of vacancies that they don't need to fund? Or is there, how do you continue operations when you've cut over 50 million from the budget of the Johnson Employment Factory? I'm worried that they're not going to survive and do their work. And part of the work is to ensure safety in the workplace. And I'm worried that that's going to be compromised.
Yes, sir. Let us welcome the presentation. So informative. Thank you very much. I'm very worried about the performance of Department of Labor than compensation funds. Not many compensation funds in the world. But I think the Department of Labor should be the leading one. Because to me, the rest are indices under the department. So the department, the mother body, it should lead by example. So, but when I check since 2008, 2009, till 2013, they never get green. Nothing. They never get green. The SPOCF, we don't talk about it. Really, there's no organization there. I mean, organization fund. There's no organization there. That's where the harsher actions should be taken. And the reason why I'm saying I'm so concerned about the burden of labor is because on the current year, they already got sleep on findings of the performance report. They already got this sleep. That means they never learned. As we said presentation. They never learn through the years. And the remarks from both presenters of the AG and the researchers that there's no accountability. There's no, management doesn't take responsibility. I think it's the results of that. So, we can't keep on like that. And I need an advice on as a committee. So let me start by saying, as office of the AG, what have you done to try to help these people? And if you, yes, you did something, we didn't see results. We're talking about from 5 years ago, I mean, no improvement, nothing. So, the next question will be, as a committee, what can we then do to remedy this situation? Because talking about it ever and ever is not going to help. As a committee, what can we do? Maybe as a sort of advice. In terms of law and in terms of our powers as a committee, what can we do? Thank you.
Was there any other hand? Oh, no, Mantash.
No, sir, mine is just a minor question. The presentation is self-explanatory. But I just want to request the group to specifically advise us whether the recommendation on the amendment of the lot of legislation that founded NEDLAC, which ones are problematic in your view? In your view, are those hindering the good performance of this entity? So it's just for empowerment. What are they hindering that you feel must be repealed and revisited? Thanks.
Can I think of that? No sense. Can I give to the...
You know, sorry, the reason why I ask that, I am skeptical of the fact that sometimes officials can be mucky, you know, request for an amendment of legislation just to plunge the entity into trouble. So we must be careful so that we not find ourselves, you know, misled. So you are the best person to advise us. So because we can't just change, for me, we can't just change legislation to suit certain individuals. We must do it for the sustainability of that organization and not change the reasons why it was in the first place established to do.
AG's office.
I think I'll start responding to questions in first out, first out. In accounting, we've got different ways of saying it's first in, first out, or last in, first out. So I'll use the FIFO method and the first in, first out. So I'll respond in that order again. Yeah. I think, when I remember, I think most of, majority of the things were comments, apart from the one for the CMA building. I think with regards to that, I don't have the specific details, but the manager on the audit phase, because of the supply chain irregularities and legal intricacies involved in this, that's why they haven't, I think the board of that particular entity say, I think it's more of a board decision, I think they put everything on hold. So I don't have the particular details to say why occupying one building and the other building is not being utilized. I think there would be, when entities come here, they would have a better understanding, but when you got the results, we were like, it was one thing, they just acquired the building, not through the right proper supply chain management. I don't have the proper details of why they're paying for the building that they're not using at this point in time. Thanks. The second question from this, when I remember, was about the Department of Labor, the whole that the three issues that have been there for a certain time. But I must say, like now, with regards to financial statements and financial management, although we think they're yellow and everything, but they're moving in the right direction. They're getting there. But the problem is, with regards to the performance indicators, that's where lots of work needs to to be put in. Because I think within the finance division, they've got competent people. Still, the CFO is hands-on. He makes sure the guys in the region do whatever he wants them to do. It's just the service delivery indicators, the performance evaluation. And that's why in one of our recommendations we say that the PME or the performance and management evaluation unit within the department needs to be more hands-on to make sure that the guys in the region, the guys at labor centers, they understand the reporting requirements. And one of the reports we're saying was for them not having indicators or targets that are not specific, measurable and everything, is they don't understand the reporting requirements of National Treasury. There's a framework that says it's called FBNI, Financial Framework for Performance Reporting and Management. So every department uses that framework to report on their performance indicators. So in most of the things where we're saying it's not measurable, it's not relevant, it's not time-bound, it's because they're not, while they're growing up the SWAT class, they're not using the prescripts of that framework to draw up. And that's something that can be done. Within, it doesn't need a period of years to do. It's just to set out and cost your team to draw up proper, to follow that prescript. The only thing is, for them to be more engaged and not just saying, if this is our strategy, then everyone, if I come to work, whatever my role and responsibility needs to be linked to whatever, to what the department does. And then I get measured on that. My individual performance gets measured, needs to be aligned to the strategic plan. So I think that's the biggest problem within the department. The IT issues, it was, well, I think it's not going to be an issue since going forward. Since it has come on board, now the IT function has been taken away from the external service provider, the PPP, so the IT thing is so it's coming back within the department. It's not going to be an issue where people are charging too many amounts and everything. So everything is done now with CITA. We hope it's going to be a little bit better than the PPP partner. The other thing you wanted to know how much CIF has done, spent over the years. I can't tell at this point in time because whatever the compensation fund was paying on IT, it was part of that broader PPP contract, which was terminated last year and extended thereof. But I know they've done so. At this point in time, I think they're in that transition where the IT functionality is still being handled by the Department of Labor. I know right now, in terms of software development and everything, they're doing different systems and everything. So it's something that you need to ask the department as well, much details, say, why, what are you spending on this? Because, but previously the management there of, the governance there of, it was done in terms of the Buddha PPP contract that was in existence. Then reduction of the budget for the inspectorate. Naturally, you reduce the budget, then service delivery, but you must understand as well from just saying from National Treasury point of view, if they give you money over years and you're not utilizing that those amounts of money, then naturally they need to cut back and they change because you can't keep on using the same excuse that I never filled the vacant position. Because if I give you 100 million this year, you never utilized it, came back. This year, you never utilized it. Me as National Treasurer, I'm going to say, it seems you don't need because you've been surviving without these things for a period of years. So let's cut back because National Treasurer now is in a process of cost containment. So they're looking at where should we reduce, where should we cut costs. So if they see you every year, you budget for it but don't utilize that amount, then they're going to say, no, we're not going to give you that kind of money. Let's rather reallocate it to other sectors that require that kind of money. But I agree with you, it could affect service delivery. But because every year we're saying inspectors, we need to employ inspectors, but if we don't employ inspectors, so then National Treasury has the collector of levies will say, it's fine, but maybe you don't need this kind of money to help you do your mandates. Next question was on the department, okay, not doing well or whatever. Like I said, if you're to evaluate the performance of the department, let's evaluate it on, if, or comparatively, the over the three areas, performance information rights guidance improves at all. Non-compliant laws and regulations, they still have findings, but the amount of findings that come out there is not so much. I agree with you, they are supposed to lead by example, so they still have areas of improvement as well. That's why we have a feeling that that yellow overall thing, they need to improve. We would want to see the department in the greener area, as we have a greener audit. Yeah, our role in how we are working is our entities, the entities that we audit. In our office, we do, when we report, we don't just report as here the finding, we report with a recommendation. But on top of that, we go beyond just issuing reports. We have from the executive authority to the EG, to the commissioners, to the accounting authorities of all these entities, and senior management as well. We interrupt them way before the audit. We go to our interaction plans and say, and then we monitor the action plan, advise accordingly. We don't just come at their end and audit, but we help them in the journey to improve on the audit outcome. So through our visibility and interaction things. You see, like right now as well, I might say, compassion fund is red, everywhere is a disclaimer. But we've made a commitment together with the senior management. Then it's like, okay, let's do the thing in bits and pieces. Okay, show us what you've done for this month. Let's review that thing. Instead of start to review 1 month's work than reviewing 12 months kind of work, a full year. So those engagements are continuing and we're continuing. We hope to see everyone in green. So we haven't laid back and detached ourselves from the problem. We're helping the entities make sure that we move in this journey of clean audit outcomes with them. Yeah, I don't know whether I've answered, can I remember all the questions? Is there anything that I haven't touched on? Oh, on
example. Thank you. Any more questions, members?
Okay, Honourable, what she had asked about the NEDLAC issue about change of legislation and that, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't put my head on the block if I'm sick. But what is, I agree with you to a certain extent, saying that sometimes it's more of a governance issue that needs to be done between the entity, maybe accounting authority and management. So sometimes it's not just, it's just politics at the entities. I would agree to a certain extent. So that people want, if they want the CEO to go out and then they say we should have changed this, or they want the accounting authority to be put in charge on day-to-day running of the entity. We have a study to say this is what needs to be changed within the club. Something, because I think what we're saying very NetLab is, why we give that point is, it takes time to make a decision, even a simpler thing, because NetLab is a smaller entity, 25 million rand entity. But sometimes even to prepare something takes long things to get rain, and things don't get done because of processes that you have to do. It's just to revisit and review all those areas and say, make decisions much quicker. Thanks.
Are you well answered, Honorable Mandash? Are you okay? Do you have further questions? Okay. Honorable Buffing, your hand was up.
Just following on from Honourable Mantash's question, are you aware that the Chief Executive Officer of NEDLAC has resigned? Yes, darling.
Okay, any further questions, members? In the absence of none, thank you very much, Mr. Bangazi and your team, for information and we are not meeting you for the first time. I think some of the things that you are raising are related to what you raised to the committee before, and we will use information as we will be engaging to the department, and thank you for your assistance. Baba. Members, the last issue with us is the report, but the program. So let's allow the guests to leave us. In fact, I don't know what you want to do. There's lunch outside. And I don't think it will be impolite for us to offer guests lunch and then we remain inside and continue the business of the day because they are leaving. So let's just pause for 10, 15 minutes and have lunch with the guests and then we come back. The meeting is adjourned.